3WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 12.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
It is 12:36 here at 95.3 WBEV. The snow is flying here as I am Wade Bates sitting on community comment here today. Just so you know, we are starting to get some after-school activities for school districts across the region that have been postponed or canceled. So check the Surefire Weather and Closings page, and as they come in, we will get them posted for you as the snow. It's going to be a steady burn of the snow, if that makes sense here this afternoon into tonight. So again, check out that Surefire Weather and Closings page. And right now, as I fill in, and we're radio only here today, as we're going to bring in Nick Smith, firefighter paramedic from the Beaver Dam Fire Rescue today to talk about what's going on over there. Good afternoon. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing good, Wade. How are you?
Good. I almost said good morning, so I got through that, because usually I'm on in the morning, and I always say, hey, good morning, how are you doing? It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so.
Fair enough.
Appreciate you giving us some time here today. Before we get into some winter safety tips and such, how is everything at the Beaver Dam Fire Department? How busy have you been over the last week or so?
It's been pretty busy. I'd say we're still pretty consistent as to where we were last year. Last year was our highest call volume year. I don't remember the exact total. I think we were close to 3,100 calls, and 2025 has been no different as far as how the year started. We're pretty consistent, rigs in and out the door all day long, it feels like lately, but all in all, things are good over here.
All right, and you know, I'm looking outside, the snow is flying right now, and you know, we have had little tastes of winter, but haven't had the big, you know, storm and things like that. If we get 8 inches today, you know, another 3-4 inches on Friday, it's going to feel like winter here, and there's some things going on when it comes to fire safety that people probably maybe let slip, I guess, since, you know, we haven't had a whole lot of snow here this 2024-2025 winter season.
Yeah, I'd say winter seems to be kind of the time of year. I mean, fires happen all year long.
Yes.
But I feel like nationwide you see an uptick, you know, in the winter, whether that be motor vehicle accidents, obviously, on a daily today before the plow trucks get out. Obviously, you know, taking it slow, driving, increasing your following distance, driving with your headlights on. And then on top of that, you run into the, you know, the typical ice rescue calls with, especially in our area with the lake and local lakes, and then just some basic winter fire safety stuff, you know, space heaters, chimneys, CO calls tend to be higher this time of year because furnaces run a little more, vents tend to not get cleaned as much, so we tend to see a little bit of an uptick, I would say, annually around this time of year.
Sure. A couple of things I want to ask you when it comes to winter fire safety. You mentioned dryer vents right there, and obviously get a lot of snow if it blows around and such. That's something you really have to kind of keep an eye on, isn't it? Because can you explain how that can become a fire hazard if you let that dryer vent you know, fill up with lint and maybe don't clean it out from the inside or the outside?
Yeah, so obviously lint is highly flammable if it, you know, is accrued over time, especially in those vents. Some dryer safety tips especially is clean that lint trap after each use, then off the back of the dryer, use that rigid material, the metal material and not plastics, and then try and run the shortest, most feasible distance to that exterior vent. And then recommended annually, at least, I would say at least annually, clean it from the outside, get a shop vac or some sort of tool to suck all that vent that's still in that piping system out and get that nice and clean, because obviously as the dryer runs, it's discarding some of that lint up and out that tube. So those tend to be a fire hazard.
Sure, you know, looking at that as well, that's something people don't look at. Even I've even been guilty of that too. You know, you clean it out, you clean your vent out from the actual dryer, and then all of a sudden you go and you have, you know, it's going to pop out the side of your house somewhere. You lift that up, and it's sometimes it's completely, your pipe can get completely filled up, can't it?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that people tend to forget the most, and I've been guilty of it myself, is you clean that trap that's in the dryer, and it's nice and clean, but over time there tends to be a buildup that can certainly sit in that piping system that's running to the exterior, and that's where we tend to see the majority of where some of those issues can occur.
Sure. Nick, also, you know, it's cold outside right now, and I think, you know, people who Like to be warmer. Like to invest in mini space heaters as well when you get the colder weather, maybe to warm up their feet underneath their desk at their office, or they put them in a room where they, you know, maybe the heat isn't great or they just want a little extra warmth. Can you kind of talk about space heaters and what kind of problems you see with space heaters this time of year that can end up being a fire hazard?
Yeah, absolutely. So space heaters are a great tool. They're a great resource to have, especially, you know, unfortunately, this time of year, people run into the events where pipes freeze or a furnace may go out. Space heaters can be used safely and efficiently. However, some of the concerns that you run into with space heaters particularly is they're not designed to be plugged into a power strip or an extension cord. Most space heaters come with a warning label on them. If you are going to use them, certainly run them directly into an outlet. And then when you're leaving rooms, just make sure you're turning them off due to, I mean, I don't know who's used a space heater. I'm sure, Wade, you have.
Yep.
The fronts of those can get pretty hot pretty quick. So if you are going to leave the space, just make sure they're turned off or put in a place where they're not going to get knocked over, as especially if they fall into a pile of clothes or near some bedding or wherever it may be, that can cause a pretty quick risk for a fire hazard.
Yeah, you know, the ones we have a couple of them. You know, my wife has one at her desk that's like underneath that, just like her for her feet. That's the one we always remember to turn off. But like, we have one like in the basement that is like, and I can see how these ones, you forget about them. They're like kind of look like stoves, but they're not. You know, they're kind of an electrical space heater that looks like a fire. And then that's the one where you're watching TV and then you go upstairs and you forget, oh, I forget that's on. And you know, that thing sticks around and sticks on for so long, that can definitely become an issue, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the biggest misconception with space heaters is the amount of power they actually draw. They use a substantial amount, and that's kind of where it becomes the concern, is more of the electrical side of it initially. With the power they're drawing, if you have it into like an extension cord or a power strip, it's going to overrun that system pretty quickly.
You know, one of the things too, you know, how often are you called to calls with candles? Obviously, you know, people like candles to burn for scent. I don't know how much people are burning candles for warmth in the winter and such, but you know, you get through the holiday season, people are burning decorative candles. But do you have many incidences where a candle ends up being the cause of a fire?
I would say that we see at least a couple annually. In my time on the fire department, I know for certain there's been a handful or more. Candles tend to be, they're great, they smell good. My family uses them more for that reason as well. That makes the house smell nice. But we just need to be mindful, especially with candles, that they're lit in a well-attended area, extinguishing not in use, similar to the space heater. Obviously, a umber or a burning candle, that free flame, is, if it's left unattended, who knows what's going to happen. Keep it away from anything flammable. If you're going to use them in bathrooms, pull them out from underneath the vanities. Keep them away from your, you know, paper towel rolls, toilet paper rolls, underneath counter spaces, and just maintain a safe area around them. And then I would say the bigger concern with candles, too, is especially with families, ensuring that they're out of reach of children, pets especially, if you got pets that jump up on the counters or tables, like coffee tables or kitchen tables, just keeping them out of reach of those hands and paws.
Sure. We're talking with Nick Smith, a firefighter paramedic with the Beaver Dam Fire Department, here on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. You know, even space heaters, you mentioned kind of tying that into that as well. Sometimes you got to run extension cords to those things. And, you know, how do you know if you're overloading, whether it be an extension cord or a power strip, or you're just using too much? That, how do you know if that turns into a hazard? Because obviously it's convenient to keep just jamming plugs into something, especially around computers, and if you start adding other things, that can become an issue.
Sure. Obviously, extension cords, you know, check and see what they're designed for, because there's obviously indoor-outdoor use. How many feet of extension cord are you running? Do you need a 50-foot cord for a 10-foot run? Probably not. Power strips especially, they're designed for certain power loads. They're not designed to have another power strip plugged into one of the ports to run off of that. A lot of that tends to be whatever the electrical system is that you have in your house or your home. I can't answer the amount of energy that it would take to run it, but especially if it comes to electrical safety, you know, if you are going to be running electrical cords or you need more outlet space, anytime you're going to do any electrical work in your house or have any questions regarding electrical safety, we definitely recommend either, A, if you're going to do the work, to pull a permit to do that, and then certainly contract with a licensed electrician.
Mm-hmm. You look at that as well. And also, you know, if you have kids or grandkids laying around, or I shouldn't say laying around, usually it's teenagers that are laying around, but kids or grandkids that are running around, getting those plugs in the electrical, because, you know, even it might just take a couple of seconds, correct, for somebody to maybe stick something into an outlet that not only could cause a safety issue, but also end up causing some sort of a fire issue within a house as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed on the head, obviously, with young children running around or grandkids running around the house. There's nothing wrong with covering an extension cord, but try not to run them behind furniture, under rugs for certain amounts of time. Obviously, if we're hiding them, they're kind of that out of sight, out of mind mindset. And over time, those wires can, or those cords can start to fray, wires can become exposed. And as soon as that sheathing on those extension cords tends to break down and those wires gets exposed, that's when you have more of a substantial risk for a fire hazard. So if you are running extension cords or you're running them under rugs or behind furniture, pull that stuff out occasionally, take a peek at it, do a little inspection on the wire itself and make sure that none of those wires are extending or frayed, or that there's any sort of concern with it.
Dr. Nick Smith, firefighter, paramedic from the Beaver Dam Fire Rescue, Beaver Dam Fire Department. Now, Nick, there was a fire in Fox Lake yesterday, and there was a gentleman, I believe, that was sleeping and was able to get out of the house. And I know the Fox Lake Fire Department mentioned that a good reminder to make sure you have working smoke detectors. Can you just talk about the importance of having smoke detectors that are up and running and the batteries don't, haven't expired, if you will, and just in a matter of seconds, that can be the difference between life and death, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, smoke detectors save countless lives annually across the country. That's your first alert system, essentially, because as we all know, when something's burning, the smoke goes up, it rises. So the first line of defense inside of a house fire, especially if you are a resident, is more than likely going to be your smoke detector, especially in the event where you may be sleeping or in a different room. With those, obviously, you kind of mentioned it, the batteries are the biggest issue. In today's day and age, we're seeing more and more homes that are, with new construction, you kind of have those that are hardwired in, they're tied into the electrical system. But all of those still, most of them, I should say, have battery backups in the event that power goes down. So we need to be making sure we're checking those batteries. We recommend at least twice a year, every 6 months. A good rule of thumb for many years has been daylight savings time in the spring and then in the fall. Those are two really good times to get up and take those smoke detectors off the ceiling, clean any dust that may be accruing on them, and take a look at those batteries. And if they need to be changed, they can be changed. Another tip here, opportunity, I should say, is we do have some smoke detectors that are given to the fire department from the Red Cross. They have us fill out a form of when we give them out, how they're utilized. So we did a little bit of I know I emailed you that flyer here this morning, Wade. There's some good information on that, a couple different links. However, we did a literature drop back in December in an area where we've had a couple fires recently. And when you run into it, that there's still homes that don't even have smoke detectors. So if you don't have one, or if you need an additional one or need help mounting them, certainly give the fire station a call, and we can either, A, come out and help you get it mounted, or if we have one, we're more than willing to give those out or get you the resources to get some smoke detectors in the home.
Yeah, you know, it's really changed, you know, when you've with the kind of hardwired smoke detectors. I remember my first, when we built the house, we had that in. And then one of the things, too, when the batteries start to go, at least the one that we had, when the battery started to go, you started to get your smoke detector chirping. But then you always had to go through the house trying to figure out which battery was the one that was kind of getting low. And that's why I think if you change them all at the same time, you kind of will figure it out as opposed to doing them, you know, randomly at different times during the year.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to change the battery in one of them in your residence, it's a good time to change all of them. It just stays consistent, that way one doesn't get missed or fall through the cracks.
Sure. Nick, also, when we talk about fires and such, I haven't talked to anybody in the specs of this one that we had the other day, but the gentleman was sleeping. But can you kind of talk about the importance of closing doors? And you know, some people like to sleep with their door open. Maybe they're claustrophobic. But why is it important from a firefighting perspective to have some doors closed in your house and not have everything opened up?
Yeah, that's a great question, Wade. So over the last, I'd say, probably 5 to 7 years, there's been a huge increase in studies of closing doors and controlling kind of the flow of oxygen and fire spread throughout the homes. And what they've done is there's a UL Underwriters Laboratory. I'm not sure exactly where it is. I believe it's somewhere down south in Illinois, maybe. Don't quote me on that, but I'm not 100% certain. But they have this institute where they run all these tests, and they build mock homes inside a warehouse or a big building, and then they light them on fire and they do these tests. And what they have shown over time is that even closing the interior door, one of those hollow core, you know, just closet doors or bedroom doors, is buying time for people in the event that there is a fire. It's eliminating or helping decrease the rapid fire spread through the homes. One of their studies found the number to be staggering, in my opinion. They burned a room, like a hallway in a living room area, and they had a door closed in a simulated bedroom that was fully furnished with bedding material, dressers, so on and so forth. And the temperature difference was 900 degree difference between an open door and a closed door. It was 1,000 degrees in the room when the door was left open, 100 degrees in the room when the door was left closed. So this closing the door is not only buying people time to get a safe space, kind of hunker down while we come and get you. It's also eliminating all the toxins or most of the toxins and keeping that temperature down in the rooms for the potential victims that we may need to go in and rescue.
Now, Nick, a couple of other I've seen a couple of opportunities where people probably don't realize how quickly a fire can spread, right? Because, you know, and I know fire departments have the demonstrations for the public, as you kind of talked about, but they can really spread in a hurry if the conditions are correct, where, you know, sometimes you will only have seconds and, to do anything you can to kind of slow the burn, if you will. Again, could be a life and death saving opportunity right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, over my course of the career, you see products change, right? Things are built with more synthetic material. It's more plastics. Houses are built with more of compressed woods. So the materials that we have in our homes and our day-to-day uses, once it reaches that flammable temperature, it burns a lot hotter and it burns a lot faster than what we've seen in years past. So I think that's where some of this push came for some of these studies. You're just seeing event that there is a fire. The time to get out of a residence is substantially less than what it used to be. So I think this was one of those things that kind of came through to say, okay, well, if there is a fire, we have all these new products that are burning a little bit hotter and quicker. What are some other means that we can keep victims safe, keep them protected until the fire department arrives in the event that they cannot get out or their access points are cut off? And that brings up another great point. Along with closing your door, everyone should have a fire escape plan for their home. Adults, especially families with young children, have that muster point outside. Practice your fire exit drills in the home, your Edith drills. Have a couple different means of egress so everyone knows how to get in and out of the house in the event that there is a fire. Those are great to have.
Anything else winter-related before you kind of switch gears, Nick, with some other stuff going on when it comes to probably more on the paramedic side? Anything else people should be keeping in mind, especially, you know, as we look at the snow fly that they should be thinking about when it comes to fire safety?
Not so much on the fire side. Clean your chimneys. That's another big one this time of year, especially. Have those done annually, especially fall is a great time to do that before you do that first burn. Over time, if you're not cleaning those chimneys, all that creosote and all the combustible material that's going up and out tends to line those chimney walls. That tends to be where we see our chimney fires, you know, spark gets up there and relight some of that stuff. So cleaning chimneys is great. Carbon monoxide, especially this time of year, is another, they call it the silent killer for a reason. It's odorless. So having carbon monoxide detectors in the home, especially when furnaces are running or gas appliances such as gas stoves. Same thing with the smoke detectors, making sure those batteries are functional every 6 months would be a good time to check those as well.
Sure, Nick. So again, just some common sense type things that people need to think about and to avoid potential tragedy. I want to switch gears. You know, obviously firefighter / paramedic. How has the cold and flu and influenza season? I mean, there's different strains out there right now, Nick, that are causing havoc for a lot of people and their well-being. Just what have you seen from the fire department side when it comes to illness across the community?
I can tell you from a personal side, influenza A ran rampant through our household, but it seems to be a pretty aggressive strand this year. I'd say you've seen an uptick in calls for flu-like symptoms, generally not feeling well. Influenza's out there. Influenza A seems to be the big one that is around this year, especially in the younger school-age children. Obviously, schools and daycares, kind of that stuff goes back and forth pretty quickly. But influenza A seems to be the one that's out there quite a bit right now. Some signs and symptoms of that, if you're exhibiting them or might have some questions, fever, cough, sore throat, your congestions, body aches and fatigues, and then the headaches and chills, kind of just like years past. It's very similar. I was looking at some of the CDC information this morning, and what they're showing is the only real standout is just a little bit more of GI irritation, especially in children, some nausea and vomiting associated with it. So the big recommendations we have for that is if you are exhibiting signs and symptoms, especially if you have a fever, isolate. You're not, you know, obviously you don't want to go back to work and pass it on to someone or back to school. But just the common, like you said, Wade, the basic common sense stuff, wash your hands, hot soap and water, and then just stay up on top of fluid intake, especially with influenza. If you're not keeping up on the fluids, that's when the body tends to have a little bit more of a struggle, is when we're not retaining that fluid or keeping our hydration levels up.
Good advice there, Nick. Again, I appreciate you giving us some time here today. I know that, like you said, you're dealing with some stuff, as everybody is as a parent here, when it comes to sick children, so we couldn't get in and do the... So you got out of doing clothing and makeup today then, right?
I did. My we had one of my kids was out of school all week last week due to influenza, so I can relate to anyone that's struggled with it or has gone through it this year. It hasn't been the greatest year for cold and flu.
Have you been able to avoid it at all?
For the most part, feel like I have a little bit of congestion going on, but as of now, no fever or cough, so I think it, so far, so good, and I'm going to try my best to stay away from it the rest of the year.
Hey, Nick, if anybody has any questions about just fire, maybe they have a question about something in their house, if it's safe for them to have, or just general questions about winter fire safety, what would you suggest? Where should they go to kind of maybe answer some of those questions?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Wade, I sent you that flyer this morning. You're more than welcome if you guys want to share that or post that. That's kind of the one we've been handing out with our literature drops. There's a couple different QR codes that are listed on it. Mm-hmm. They take you to the links, especially for the close before you doze information, and then some space heater safety stuff. But if anyone has any more direct questions, or especially, you know, more specific more specific questions, they can certainly call the fire station. Our phone number is listed on the website, or a simple Google search, or visit the City of Beaver Dam website and look at the fire department page. There's some good information on there as well.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some time here today. We appreciate all the hard work that the men and women do in the Beaver Dam Fire Department. And Nick, thank you so much for the time here today.
You bet, Wade. Thanks for having me.
All right. Appreciate that. Again, Nick Smith, firefighter, paramedic from the Beaver Dam Fire Department, giving us some time here today on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. And we do continue to get some closings and cancellations reported to us. Please check the Surefire closings and cancellations page at dailydodge.com, and be on the lookout for your school. I know a lot of schools are closing or canceling their after-school activities here in across the region. So as they come in, we will post them as well. And it looks like I just saw Beaver Dam's activities are canceled for tonight due to the weather. So again, a lot of them are coming in, and we will get those up as soon as those are sent to us. There is a tab to fill out those cancellations and postponements on the weather and closings page as submit a closing. And you fill it out, and the thing is, we have to approve that. So once you fill it out, somebody here is kind of standing by right now, and they will approve it and get it up on the website as they come. Again, this has been today's edition of Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Ukrainian President Zelensky confirms he spoke with President Trump on the phone today about... From ABC News, I'm Dave Packer, picking up the red phone.
President Trump says he spoke to Russian President Vladimir Putin Wednesday, and they agreed to immediately begin negotiations to end the war in Ukraine. The